Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to the NXT preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hanfler and Michael Sidgwick. Here's a look ahead to tonight's episode of NXT. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review NXT, but also AEW Dynamite, Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Hanfler and Sidgwick to look ahead to NXT. And a stacked show tonight, Michael Hanfler. We've got the return of Finn Balor. We've got a street fight for the women's tag titles, a Falls Count Anywhere to conclude a huge rivalry. I'll tell you what, after this show, I will not need any more wrestling and certainly any more violence for the rest of this week.
Shut up. Shut up. Here's the thing. I know what you're doing and you're pissing me off. Well done. Well done for accomplishing that. I'm telling you, like, I'm very cynical about all things WWE and the way that they operate their scummy, cynical business. It can't be a coincidence, right, that on the heavily promoted Blood and Guts week, in which AEW was promised a new level of violence for pro wrestling TV in the mainstream, I just cannot separate that happening and NXT running two weapons, plunder, stipulation matches, whatever you want to call them, on their show. They're still fighting the Wednesday night war when it's not a Wednesday night war anymore. Why would you do two very similar stipulation matches on this week of all weeks unless the company is either incredibly cynical or just incredibly dumb? Because either they want to genuinely do that. They want to satiate this apparent demand for bloodlust the night before. They're just in a horrible bid to diminish the rating of the competition, right? Mm. So either they're going to do that, or what they're doing is they are wasting two blow-offs for feuds that have been just simmering, and that's gentle, for the longest time. Because what's going to happen is they're going to get blown out the water in the violence department, not 24 hours later, and you are making your wrestlers work, six of your talents work pretty arduous, grueling, debilitating matches, and it's just all going to get washed away.
Hanfler, set him straight. These feuds have been slowly building right up until this point from day one, wasn't it, in NXT?
It's not cynical or dumb. It's cynical and dumb because, yeah, it puts godly pressure on these wrestlers to try and out-violent the violence of tomorrow. They'll be looking for grand visuals. They can't bleed, but like they'll be looking for grand bloodless visuals from these matches that can somehow outstrip tomorrow night's blood-soaked violence. And we know AEW will go there. And one of them's not even in a cage. So they're virtually, they feel identical. They could have at least hoyed one of them, like the single, maybe Swerve and Leon Ruff in a cage.
That would be two on the nose.
Well, but you see, I think it's so dumb anyway that they might as well have done. I think that's a part of it. So you might as well have the tag team match be a street fight and the singles match be a steel cage, and then you're kind of getting both. And then at least you've got a bit of variation across your show. They're going to have to have the Falls Count Anywhere match pretty much go all over the CWC to differentiate between the two stipulations, because there's going to be loads of weapons in the tag match. The tag match feels like it's going to be more energetic. There's more people. Candice LeRae is pretty great in this environment. Shotty Blackheart will do anything to get this over. So, like, it feels like there's going to be more electricity in this tag team match. So I expect Swerve and Ruff to get the shortcut of being allowed to go wherever they want in the CWC. We'll have some backstage stuff. We'll have a version of that, like, weird in the crowd, but not in the crowd stuff they've done with, like, Drew and Sheamus in the Thunderdome. Doesn't totally work, but it's different, I guess. And yeah, as Cedric points out, nothing, even for trying, and Christ, they'll try, but even for trying, nothing will become the conversation this week. If anything, it'll just be like a curtain raiser. Like, to the wrestling audience at large, who, based on the numbers, we can assume there's a fairly big overlap between the people that watch on Tuesday versus people on Wednesday. We say, well, if you like that, check this out, which is the polar opposite response of what they're wanting from the bulk of the people watching the show. It is cynical. It is equally cynical as it is dumb.
That's the thing. Even if it isn't cynical, even if it isn't, and again, to reiterate, maybe I'm crazy here, right? But even if, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, and it just happens to be on this week that they're running two stip matches, even if it isn't a bid to desensitize the crossover AEW NXT audience, you're still going to desensitize your existing audience on the violence of the second NXT match. I just think it's stupid. Here's the thing. To varying degrees, I think both matches will be great. I just think it's a silly, silly idea to do it, irrespective of whether there's a cynical element to it.
I just like the idea of, you know, they have the deep voice promo. I see it every week when I go and look at the preview of WWE.com. Like, tonight, Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon will defend the tag titles. So that sort of thing. Do you reckon there's going to be a thing that plays tonight that says, tomorrow night, why not go outside for a bit or see some friends or do a family quiz, particularly from 8 till 10 p.m.?
It's Cinco de Mayo.
You haven't spoken to your grandma in a while. Maybe you should do that. Anyway, we're here to talk about NXT. And it has, to be fair, well, certainly in my opinion, Hamlet, been vastly improved since moving nights. And I've really enjoyed the last few weeks. We've all had that concern. You particularly will have it as parents. If you have pets, that if they go missing, you worry about them. You put signs, reward, answers to the name of Finn. Well, the cat comes home tonight. Finn Balor returns to NXT after TakeOver Stand and Deliver. And what do you reckon he's going to have to say for himself? He's had a lovely little holiday, lucky bastard.
I welcome character development off the results of those Instagram pictures and worry that this is dumb too. And it's just him saying, just because I took a holiday, you don't think that the prince goes on vacation. I'm going to take my title back. And it's just all serious all over.
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of wordplay that he would do.
Yeah, like, I can't bear more of this thing.
I can't cut more of this.
So I need those pictures to actually mean something, like to reflect a bit. Like, he's gone away from the darkness and severity of bloody Capital Wrestling Center and what it is to be NXT champion and blah, blah, blah. And he's just going to, I don't want him to be wearing his Kyle O'Reilly Glastonbury attire, but I want him to come back refreshed, you know, and somebody can interrupt him. Fine. Like, we'll have a mini program for Finn Balor while Karrion Kross is distracted elsewhere. And Finn Balor gradually tries to be fine and tries to be, you know, sort of relaxed. And then gradually he starts talking about things like how he feels like the demon wants to escape from him. And you get one more match out of Karrion Kross and Finn Balor. And this time Finn Balor's the demon. But just take your time. I will say this for the, I don't think I'll be quite as glowing as you for the praise, but it's been a more enjoyable viewing experience, even when I've not loved all of the content. Part of that is obviously because we're not dealing with 4 hours on a Wednesday morning in the UK, trying to juggle both shows live or however you did it before. But generally, this is falling back into NXT pattern booking. And what I will say so far is that nothing has felt terribly rushed. Nothing has felt... This little double same match stipulation crack is the first time they've felt anything close to wartime NXT. They're starting to just stretch stuff out again. They're working at their own pace. They've got one eye on their next takeover. They're not terribly bothered whether or not we're bored or captivated by a character. So I'm in no rush to get back to Finn Balor, serious guy. Like, no rush at all. So I'd like those Instagram selfies or whatever to just actually reflect a guy that's taken a break and is maybe a bit more relaxed, and that can set him away with somebody else tonight.
I'm looking through the Wikipedia WWE list of WWE personnel page, and I'm looking at male NXT wrestlers because I suspect that they've only shown footage or pictures or whatever of Finn Balor, like relaxed and on holiday, with the idea that someone's going to confront him and say, "Are you getting soft?" That's me trying to do a Brummy accent, trying to be Tyler Bate. But I suspect one of the intense lads, pick one who isn't engaged in a feud at present, is going to confront them and say, "Oh, the first thing you did when you lost your title was go on holiday," or something like that. Something similar to what they did on Raw. And I'm looking through this list and I just cannot see who's confronting them. And I don't know if that's because people have done a good job of wrapping virtually everyone on the show in a storyline, which is to their credit. Because if it was on like Raw or SmackDown in this similar fantasy booking pitch, I'm not fantasizing about it, but you get my drift. You can just pick anyone because there's so many people with nothing to do. And honestly, it's kind of illuminated that, yes, a lot of these male roster members who could conceivably confront Finn Balor are wrapped in storylines at the moment, which I guess is good, resourceful use of your roster. Yeah, I'm looking at it, and really, only Pete Dunne is not without like a opponent on the imminent horizon at this point. So I've got no idea. Who would I want Finn Balor to have a match with? I don't know that either. Seriously, Kona Reeves, maybe.
I think, and this isn't me pitching this as something I'd like to see, but just using my WWE head, and although it, you know, it doesn't really tick all your boxes there, Sidge, because I'd say that I could easily see him in he's, I don't know, he's flirted with a few people in terms of getting into proper rivalries, but I could very easily see Finn Balor tonight cutting a promo and one LA Knight interrupting and saying, "Oh, I see the moment I showed up at TakeOver Stand and Deliver, you head for the hills," sort of thing. I don't know whether you want a feud.
Head for the card flap.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know whether you want a feud there, because you don't really want to. I mean, he's already lost, but you don't want to hand him more losses, LA Knight. And like you say, you need Finn Balor to win to recover. So maybe, even though he's just been used as cannon fodder very recently, maybe an Oney Lorcan. But like you say, it's a tough pitch, isn't it?
Indeed. Yeah, I've got no idea how they're going to make this interesting at all, if I'm being perfectly honest. You know who looked good, if not big time or animated or whatever? That it's called Tyler Rust.
Hmm.
Tyler August Gray, what's he called? The one that Bivens.
Yeah,
Tyler Rust.
Yeah, they could do something with him. Was he August Gray at first?
I think so.
Yeah, Tyler Rust. Why not? Just a nice bit of levity and a contrast, because I found Finn Balor's run to be drab promo wise when it was just intense lad telling fellow intense lad that he was harder than the other intense lad. I think Bivens,
yes,
could maybe coax some of the actual swagger and charisma that Finn Balor as Prince Devitt had once upon a time. So if nothing else, other than to just get away from that overbearing Finn Balor character, some interaction with Bivens I think would work nicely.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, so let's look ahead to one of the two big, like you say, hard-hitting matches tonight. It's a street fight for the women's titles. Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon defending those tag titles against Candice LeRae and Indi Hartwell. Indi Hartwell has been a revelation over recent weeks. Do you sense that playing into this again in a title retention for Blackheart and Moon?
I wouldn't hate it, you know. I wouldn't hate it. As Hamflet accurately points out, Candice LeRae is awesome in this environment. And I think she'll be even better in the sort of whirlwind context of like a tag plunder match. Like her work in PWG is legendary. I think that she had a match with Mia Yim that, while good, did fall afoul of those WWE tropes. Like a tag team plunder match isn't something WWE tends to do. And as a result, there are fewer traps and cliches and tropes to fall into. So I've genuinely got high expectations for this match, particularly since, again, Shotzi Blackheart will do something unhinged to get it over. Candice LeRae knows exactly how to work these and craft these. That's the key difference. So I think you're going to get some really well-done craft. I think it'll be a well-put-together match that'll have a certain tone that Shotzi can provide. Ember Moon will do something awesome in this environment. And I think if they are brave enough and they are savvy enough to like slip between modes, you can get a decent amount of comedy out of Hartwell in this context as well. I think all of the ingredients are there to create something really quite memorable and fun and violent without those two things undermining one another. I think this should be really good.
Yeah.
I don't know who wins. I don't think there's a title switch imminent. I think the appearance of Dexter Lumis will probably have the reverse effect of last week, where Indi Hartwell will be drawn to him and she will lose the match for her team. Maybe a bit of dissension in the way, who I'm completely over. So that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
I just dread this, because there is so much to like about this as a booking. I dread it being slightly underthought. I worry when a match like this occurs, and maybe tonight it'll be great and it'll be sort of a bit more hard, objective evidence that NXT is like knows itself again on a night to itself. Yeah, it almost feels like fortuitous that they've happened upon this match with these wrestlers. And I want them to put the thought into it rather than just like switching on the NXT match machine and us getting like the spots that we used to with the tables or with that weird, you know, that girder that every wrestler...
I would love climbing on that bastard.
I don't want them to... An example of them doing it right would be spin the wheel, make a deal with Gargano and Damian Priest, where... Yes, the match was very, like, the way they got to the match was very NXT, but the quality of the match itself was very much about the wrestlers and, like, being creative with the surroundings, and it was all very in character. I would like to see these wrestlers wrestle as if they are the people they portray, not the company they work for. And I think there's such a big difference at this point in the presentation of these matches that it would be a standout moment for this current era of NXT if this banged, because it could, like, it really, really could. For all that, you know, it is pointless to compare the likely violence between this and what we might get in Blood and Guts. This could stand up by itself as like a match of the night or a proper talking point match.
Yeah, I can easily see some mad stuff happening with those girders, like you say, whether it be, wouldn't really be as any, you know, I don't know how effective it would be in reality, but like an eclipse off that through a table or something bonkers is very feasible. I agree. I think Shotzi Black on Ember Moon retain. I can't quite figure out in my head where or how the interaction happens, but yeah, it's going to be one of those where maybe Indi Hartwell goes under the ring and Dexter Lumis is there and she freezes and that, and maybe even like Bronson Reed gets involved to even the odds, because like you say, Austin Theory and Johnny Gargano seem inevitably going to get involved because of their attachment to the way, even though they can never seem to get the job done aside from when it's to do with the North American Championship and with the fallout from last week. You've got Bronson Reed waiting for that title opportunity. Speaking of title opportunities, a match seemingly set up potentially the next challengers for the tag team titles. It is the grizzled young veterans taking on Ciampa and Thatcher. And I really like the build to this, Hamflet.
Yeah, me too. Tremendous, really, tremendous that they can do it on television with the minor worry that they'll like fall back in old habits and not give us a finish. Because I think like the tag division's not great. It's got a few decent teams, but I think it'd be generous to say the division as a whole is great. And you you know, you can't, you do risk throwing away some of these first time meetings between these teams. Or certainly, like, I'm trying to think if these two have actually already fought, but what, like, feel fresh. These fought in the Dusty Cup, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
But it feels brand new now, like, in this context, and that's all you need. Yeah, like, love the build, love how much sense it makes. These teams would absolutely hate each other. Champa and Thatcher would hate Zach Gibson and just, like, want to smash him in the mouth at the first opportunity. But Grizzled Young Vets would resent Champa and Thatcher's very existence when they feel as though they're entitled to those tag titles. So, like, love all about all there is about this. Love the potential chemistry and the quality of the match. And as you say, like, I really hope they commit to a finish, because this is proper showing, not telling, your number one contenders. They're not just inventing a number one contenders match out of thin air. This is a battle of the best, and the winning team deserve to get the shot.
Yeah, it's just, again, so difficult to envisage them actually committing to a clean finish with the idea of placing MSK's title reign under, like, significant threat. It's WWE. It's what they do, and it's what they've done for so long that the feeling of cynicism is often so inescapable, hence the goddamn introduction to this podcast, and it affects my enjoyment or anticipation of this match on a micro level. Like, so often in WWE, when you think, oh, that team can't afford to lose, they rarely do clean. Mm. They rarely do so cleanly. Ultimately, NXT is a match factory, which is slightly better than the content factory that is now Raw and SmackDown. But with me trying to put in mind the match factory mentality that is NXT, they're probably looking at that Dusty Cup final and going, let's run that back as soon as humanly possible. And where that leaves Thatcher and Ciampa, I don't know. Because again, part of the problem with setting up a team that you don't seem to have any fixed direction to go with right at the top, setting that team up via a feud, is that you've already done the feud. So it's everything I watch with Ciampa and Thatcher, even though I've grown to enjoy their chemistry in spite of myself and in spite of my inclinations, everything, just the muck of WWE's avarice hangs over everything to do with that act for me.
I genuinely can't call this, because you could easily see a world in which they present Ciampa and Thatcher versus MSK, and obviously, like, say, running back Grizzled.
I'd love to watch that. I think it'd be fantastic. Maybe they should, you know. Maybe they should commit to that direction and realise that Zach Gibson is so gifted promo-wise that he can just get the heat and get the interest and get the buzz, or what counts for it these days in NXT, 2 months down the line.
Mm.
It's a huge win for MSK should they beat Ciampa and Thatcher as well.
Yeah.
It's not that, well, like, what we're pitching is not some wild out there fantasy booking scenario, is it? It's relatively character driven, and you deliver the big matches that you've not seen before, and then you put people over.
Yes.
And I mean, like you say, it's a limited tag division, but I thought they did a hell of a rebuild with Legado del Fantasma standing tall last week. I loved that main event. And, you know, I'm not suggesting that they should automatically be back straight into a title picture or even like a title match with 2, 3, 4 teams in it. But yeah, like you say, let's hope they commit to something. Obviously, I'm going to be backing the Grizzled Young Veterans, but like you say, the Ciampa and Thatcher versus MSK would be wonderful. So let's talk about this ongoing rivalry between Isaiah Swerve Scott and Leon Ruff. Falls count anywhere tonight. Hamplet's right. They're going to brawl all over the CWC, aren't they?
Yeah, it's going to be more creative than violent, more athletic than... They're not going to go for tone here, which, whether that's well-advised or not, it's just not going to happen. I don't think anyone buys this as a proper grudge feud between two acts that despise one another. I realise they've been feuding for long enough that per WWE law, LAW, there's a goddamn thing as the LORE. Sorry for the homonym there, just to clear up any confusion. I don't feel like these two guys want to rip each other's heads off, right? And I don't think it suits their respective strengths to have a gnarly fight. I wouldn't believe in it. It's not for them to do. I think this is just realistically a vehicle to get two incredibly gifted modern athletes to do incredibly spectacular things, using heights as a platform, using chairs to run up and jump off and do hurricane runners. I'm expecting, and I invoke this as a criticism more often than not, but I'm expecting the good kind of PWG plagiarism.
Mm.
In this match, I really hope it goes that way, because if nothing else, as a wrestling fan who's got Ospreay versus Shingo for to catch up with, and by all accounts, it's one of the greatest wrestling matches ever. So I'm looking forward to doing that. I've got Blood and Guts, which we'll go into in depth on the preview tomorrow. But I firmly expect that to be like, not so much barren in spots, but just going for a tone more than a structure. I just want a different experience, one that maximizes the strengths of the performers involved in the match. I want this to be contrived in the best possible way.
This should be, Hamlet, this should be perceived by WWE as a stepping... I love, and she's lovely on Rough, by the way. Perceived as a stepping stone to, at the next takeover, you get Kushida versus Swerve. Is that the direction you go? Or maybe Kushida versus Swerve versus, Legado del Fantasma. Oh, not Legado, you know what I mean.
Santos.
Santos Escobar.
Yeah.
You saved it with the rolling up.
Yeah, or... go beyond that and do, let's say, like
Mike Beyond.
Maybe looking towards Swerve and Bronson Reed for the North American, for example. Like, absolutely, this is, I will say that for all, maybe like subjectively, I've not got a great deal out of this rivalry. The way they are positioning it and have positioned it is that the win matters to the person. It's that, like, so like Swerve lost all the goddamn time, like when he was trying to win the Cruiserweight title. Leon Ruff won, then lost the North American title. So this feud found them both like scrambling around at the bottom. And this is that like opportunity back out away from that. And again, like I always feel like I go back to like NXT's formula. And when wrestlers find themselves in what particular mix, we saw Pete Dunne was just like in that mix for the NXT title by default. For like 3 or 4 months. Oh, there's Kyle O'Reilly, I'll fight you for a shot. There's Finn Balor, I'll fight you for the belt itself now. Here's Karrion Kross. You know, like, maybe I'm not frightened of you and maybe I'll have my... There are certain wrestlers at various times that find themselves. It's like football teams. Sometimes you get relegated, sometimes you get promoted and you're in that division. The winner of this match, and I do assume it's to be Swerve, will get that promotion, which is sort of the point. You know, you're supposed to win this match and it's supposed to be elevated. So yes, I would expect him to be a title contender, but which one? I don't know.
Is that analogy is Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa the Sunderland just staying in this division forever?
Yes, we go up. I don't think I want to. There's nothing good up there for us.
Got, you know, potential fallout from what we saw from Cole and the reaction from O'Reilly to look forward to tonight. But instead, I want to conclude by looking ahead to something that me and Sige predicted spot on last week. And that was the interaction between one Ted DiBiase and one Ikemi guy, baby, to the moon. A continuation of this tonight for you, Hamlet?
No. Is that unpopular? No. I really, really enjoyed it. I worry that they would beat it into the ground really quick in a way that I wouldn't have fond memories of it. Like, you can do it, and there's every chance they've, like, flown him in, and they've got, like, 4 or 5 segments out of him, and he's got a nice payday, and maybe we'll get, like, more out of NXT vignettes. You know, jewellery shops. What hasn't Cameron Grimes done? He's done the basketball court, hasn't he?
He's got I think for me...
Fair enough, like, if they've got him for a few more taped things, fine. But I don't want them to lean on this too much now that we've had, like, that first payoff. I think it's good. I like the $1 million title thing, I can go either way on, to be honest. Maybe Cameron Grimes tries to form his own corporation and the only guys he can find is Everrise or something. Then DiBiase and IRS...
Oh, my God, don't say that.
DiBiase and IRS just chase them out of the CWC as money in. You know, like, I'm not saying you can't do the odd one or two things. I like this Cameron Grimes character enough to go back to that idea of like where they're at in the pecking order, to start having a rivalry or two. I don't feel like that's too much to ask. But like, I think at some point, like, the gag was so great last week. The reveal and payoff was tremendous. Use a bit more Ted DiBiase if you want to. But I'm totally ready for, like, I don't want frigging Bronson Reed again or Johnny Gargano just holding on to the belt forever. I want Cameron Grimes to have that belt. I want him to feel like he's got a purpose as the great all-rounder he is. So the longer you cling on to this DiBiase stuff, now you've done it, the less you're going to like it.
It's odd, this. It's odd is the word. I like it, but it's odd. And it's unpredictable in that way, like, oh, who's got the better of who, MJF versus Chris Jericho? Like, it's not on that level. It's basically a storyline in a pro wrestling company between a guy who can go versus a guy who can't. Like, what do you do? what more can he possibly do? How funny are the gags, really, if you continue to stretch it out? I need this to be more tethered to Cameron Grimes, the wrestler, the performer, and what he does in this company. He's just getting, it's just like gags in it. I don't know what this is. I suspect it'll continue for a little while longer. I want this to be more focused. I want this to be more tethered to pro wrestling. I do want Cameron Grimes. And just, if nothing else, right, I think it would be such a flex for Grimes and NXT, the wider product, if he can get that goddamn million dollar belt over. Mm. It's an absolute albatross of a gimmick that is so aspirational in terms of who had tried to get over in the past. So ironic, like the people who wore it looked nothing like $1 million, and yet Cameron Grimes can subvert and lance all that. I just think there's so much, like, pun intended, money in him holding it, and there being some kind of begrudging alliance. They might have a chemistry between them. You'll often find that funny. People tend to have like chemistry with like several other people. I just want them to be an act together. I think they can squeeze one or two more skits out of it, and then some kind of storyline development that tethers DiBiase and Grimes together. And he can then use the million-dollar title. He can brag about it. At this point, when he's got it, he can talk about how it's the most prestigious title in all of NXT. He can get that over. Summons out whoever's the babyface North American champion at that time, because Gargano's held it for long enough. Then they can feud over the North American title. Mm. I think they're in the long haul with this. I truly do. Like, they've been mentioning Ted DiBiase's name since, was it Vengeance Day that Grimes returned and they saw that thing? They mentioned DiBiase's name the very next week or the week after that. Like, it's that we're in it for the long haul, I suspect.
I'm completely with you, Sid, and I'm going to keep talking about this until I will it into existence. But like you say, I agree. I think they need to have this head-to-head each week until they finally realise the opposite of like an odd couple tag team, in terms of like, oh, we were exactly the same person. And like you say, one of us can't go in the ring, but one of us can, and one of us can protect the legacy of the others. Maybe this week you kind of flip it on its head. Maybe Ted DiBiase is taking out his wife for a lovely meal at a restaurant, and he arrives and they say, I'm sorry, sir, your table's been taken. And you find out that it's Cameron Grimes, whose payback has not only taken his table, but made even more money off the, I don't really pay much attention to this, but is it Dogecoin? Dogecoin?
The idea.
No ideas. The bloody
strange new world, and I'm a 35-year-old and not a Hamlet yet, who doesn't belong to it.
Yeah, I keep saying, I'll download eToro and see what this is all about. I haven't done it yet. But yeah, maybe he's there and he's clearly celebrating with a load of hangers-on that he's made even more money off the bloody magic internet coin things, whatever it is that he does. But yeah, more of this sort of thing, please. Excited for NXT regardless, though. Let us know your thoughts ahead of the show tonight on Twitter, at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at
Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, where you can hear our review of Raw right now. And you can hear our review of this show and our preview, as Sidge mentioned, of AEW Dynamite Blood and Guts tomorrow. But for now, this has been the NXT preview. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.